Grace and peace be to you from God our Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. There's a reason that our music in the liturgical part of our worship services at times ought to be joyful. The words are joyful, such as the one we just sang, Alleluia. That means praise the Lord. And it should be sung with a certain frame of mind. It should be sung with a certain attitude of the heart. And that's set forth of us in this 100th Psalm, which we give our attention to today. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting and his truth endures to all generations. Your fellow redeemed by the life, sufferings, death, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. These words are so familiar to you. They can become so mechanical, so thoughtless. But I want to ask you a question today as we begin to consider these words of the psalm. How many times have you heard someone trying to end a religious discussion by this kind of statement? Well, we all serve the same God. Really? I don't serve the same God that the terrorists who shot all those or bombed all those people in Boston. I don't share their God. We don't believe in their God, do we? Why do people say such a stupid thing? We all serve the same God. This morning in Bible class, I emphasized that God cannot reveal himself to anyone unless that person receives the Bible. That's the name of God. There is no other name given among men under heaven by which we must be saved except Jesus Christ. Now, it's true, every religious person serves a God of some kind, but not all religious service is the same. And I want to make this clear distinction today. Whatever religious service comes from a heart that rejects Jesus Christ as one's only Savior from sin is dead. Those works are dead. There is no religious service in them, no matter what one thinks. And on the other hand, the service of the Christ believer arises from spiritual life. Our joyful service as Christ believers is a fruit of his resurrection. The Apostle Paul wrote in Romans 6 that through baptism, Christians are buried with Christ, so that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. What could be plainer? Without the Lord's resurrection and true faith in Christ redeeming for us, work for us, there is no newness of life, only death. New life, new living comes only to those who believe in Jesus, and they're the ones who bring forth joyful service to the true God. One of the most disturbing comments that a pastor can hear, and I just heard it just a few weeks ago, is this. I don't have to go to church to be saved. How often have you heard that? That's very disturbing. Because on the one hand, if you use the word have to in the sense of musty, we don't have a musty religion. It's not necessary for the robber or the thief on the cross to come down from the cross and get baptized to be saved. It wasn't necessary for him to go to the temple. Christ said, today you'll be with me in paradise. It isn't a have to for people to go to church. But when they make that statement, what they're really saying is, I'm not going to church because I'm not saved by going to church. True. Not by that bald, mechanical activity you're not saved. That's for sure. But wow, your statement really shows an attitude. an absence of a living faith. Very important to understand. People who say this may be right, but most of the time it's an excuse. Don't let them use an excuse. The psalmist has no excuse. God has served us first. And I ask you, if you are truly serving him in joy because he lived and died and rose again for you, then isn't it perfectly natural that worship in a corporate service like this is going to be included in your service to the Lord? I've had people who can't come to church for months on end, years, say, I wish I could be in God's house with all my fellow Christians and sing those hymns and hear the word preached from the pulpit. That's the attitude manifested in this Psalm 100. And that's why it begins. Make a joyful shout or noise to the Lord, serve him with gladness, and come before his presence with thanksgiving. The psalmist says, the Lord is God. He has made us, and we have not made ourselves. Or as Luther put it in the explanation to the first article, God has made me with all creatures, giving me my body, soul, eyes, ears, and all my members, my reason, and all my faculties. And richly and daily gives me and preserves everything that I need for my bodily life. That alone is reason to come to his house and sing his praises. He still preserves me. Even after man threw away all his earthly blessings in the fall into sin, God still claimed a people for himself. That's what the psalm says next. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. That's a miracle. I said a couple of weeks ago, this is a miracle. No, it was last Sunday. That we are his sheep. He created man. We fell into sin, every last one of us, and yet God has his sheep. We are the sheep of his pasture. His eternal plan to save mankind was fulfilled in Christ. And that plan is brought to our hearts to renew our hearts and lives through the Holy Spirit. And that goodness and mercy will continue until the end of time through the preaching of the gospel. Through that gospel, the Holy Spirit calls and he creates the people, the sheep of his pasture. Jesus has, as the scriptures say, delivered us for our transgressions and raised him again because we've been declared righteous on account of him. Through Christ, God delivered us. Those who believe that our Creator, Redeemer, God has already done for them everything necessary for their salvation, those people will believe that their Creator, Redeemer, God deserves joyful praise and thanksgiving, and they desire to sing the praises of him with the congregation of believers. It's an automatic, not a must, but a want. And this service of glad thanksgiving will spill over into the daily life of the true Christian. That's automatic too. It's hypocrisy to be in church, to have no heart and thought and mind for being here, but to mechanically go through things and the rest of the week live like a heathen. We understand that. To not show love to people when you just declare your love for God here and love for the brethren, and then during the week say terrible things and do terrible things to others. Incompatible with Christianity. Joyful noise, serving with gladness, coming with singing. These are the characteristics of service performed by those who serve daily in connection with Christ. The unbelievers, God demands service from them in order to be saved. But the service of the true Christian comes from a entirely different motivation. It arises out of happy love and thanksgiving. The knowledge that we have free and full salvation complete through Jesus Christ. And where there's that attitude, the pastor and others in the congregation don't have to constantly harp about service. In our congregation, there are so many ways to serve our Lord and Savior. You who are women in the congregation serve as Sunday school teachers of the children. We are blessed. You serve as vacation Bible school teachers, organists, musicians, You serve when there are funerals or victory services. You serve the families who need comforting. You visit those who are sick. There are countless ways we pray. We lift up holy hands and pray to God. And you men, you teach also and preach the gospel. And you are convention delegates. You sit in positions on the church council. You serve in the general maintenance of the church property. The list goes on and on of things that we do as we continue to serve with glad thanksgiving. And yet, if the heart isn't right, then the thing is displeasing to God, and it doesn't make any difference what it is. If my heart's not right, I can't stand up here and preach the word and please God. Even if I say everything right, if the heart's not right, I'm not pleasing God, the word is. If we try to serve him with an unwilling heart, our service becomes evil, because it's very clear in Hebrews and in Romans that whatever is not done from faith is sin. So, if my motive is that I'm trying to please men, then I'm sinning, no matter what I do. If I have no motivation at all, but it's all unwilling, my heart's not in it, I'm not pleasing God, I'm sinning. Whatever is not of faith in Jesus Christ is sin. But what a beautiful sight in our congregation to behold the glad service of our Lord, and I see it regularly in all of you. And I rejoice and I thank my God, because that's his work in you. That's not your doing. When you approach him in service, whether in the church or outside the church, and I hear of it in your lives, that's evidence of the Holy Spirit's work in you, that for the sake of Jesus Christ, your Savior and Redeemer, you rejoice every day and you willingly serve him and your fellow man and the members of your congregation in every way you can. According to our text, thanksgiving distinguishes the true Christian service to God. Love and gratitude in the happy hearts of those who are motivated by the gospel. Why does the unbeliever and the hypocrite appear to serve God? I say appear to. They do that in order to please men and God, in order to receive honor, but there are no tickets to heaven. All the gold and silver in the world can't pay for a single sin to get us to heaven. That's why God sent his Son. God himself has all the gold and silver in heaven, but even he could not pay for sin except through the blood of his own Son. There are no tickets to heaven. Heaven cannot be bought by anything that we do. So each day, the true Christian has a reason to give thanks to God. No matter what else is going on in his life, he ought to take record and count his blessings. First of all, that he has forgiveness of sins. And where there's forgiveness of sins, there's also life and salvation. That's something to be thankful for, to say nothing about all the benefits you have beyond that. We don't deserve anything but punishment here on earth. We can only receive from God with joyful thanksgiving. There's another distinguishing feature of the joyful service of those who believe in the resurrection of Christ, and that is that our service is continual. It's unending service. It isn't a stutter. It's not a hiccup. Those who think that they have to earn the favor of God by their service of him to him keep a record of what they've done for him, because they don't want God to miss anything. They keep that record. It's not for their eyes so much. It's for the church's eyes, for the pastor's eyes, for God's eyes, so that they get what they think they have coming. And you know, if they feel they've done their best to serve God and earn his favor, and then they experience some kind of attack or suffering in life, they immediately blame God because they think he's not treating them fairly. And I've seen it. They will even back off from their service in bitterness toward God. That's not continual unending service. That's not what's described in this psalm. Jesus illustrated the tendency of the unbeliever in the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector. It's a famous story. Let's be sure that we remember it, not just hear it. The Pharisee stood in the temple. He appeared to be praying to God, but in reality, he wanted to make sure that God was not mistaking him for this unbelieving or this tax collector over here. Everything he said was to make sure God made a distinction between him and that other guy. You go back and read it again, think about it. He was an ordinary sinner. The Pharisee says, "I'm not an ordinary sinner. Thank you, God." He spoke of himself as a man with high morals. He thanked God not for the way God served him, but for the way that he saw himself in the service of God. And when he was all done praising himself, what does he do? He walks away as if that's the end of it. No confession of sin, confident that his deeds would earn God's favor. He just stopped suddenly and left. And what did Jesus say? This man did not go down to his house justified or declared righteous in God's sight. He had an attitude, and his attitude was, "I'm pretty good, and God better recognize it." You look at today's character-building organizations. They seek to build character not based on the gospel of Christ, not based on the free favor of God through the forgiveness of sins to encourage a joyful thanksgiving and praise of God. No, that's not it. They emphasize the idea of the individual multiplying his good deeds and even keeping track of them in a book or somewhere. Tell somebody so that rewards, badges, memorials, medals can be given out in awards assemblies before the church. Preferably. And that training is the direct opposite of what is pleasing to the Lord. Serve the Lord with gladness, the psalm says. That implies a continual, unending service, not a list of individual acts of service, which a person expects to be rewarded for. Not the hiccup that comes when things are going well, but not when things are rough in life. Whatever a person does, he is to do, as Paul says in Colossians 3, as unto the Lord and not unto men. Not in order to be rewarded by men or by God. Our Lord Jesus, who has risen from the dead, will surely have his resurrection fruit and the joy of his believing people. The believer will always know the Lord as the only God who has first served mankind through the work of his Son. And the believer will respond in faith, joy to the goodness of the Lord, wherever that word is preached, wherever the truth of God is heard. Whatever the setbacks of, or the trials that life may bring, the Christian knows that the Lord's mercy is everlasting, as the psalm concludes. His mercy is everlasting toward him, and the truth of Christ's gospel endures unchangeably to all generations. Whatever changes in our lives as joyful believers in Christ and his resurrection, God's mercy toward us never changes. His truth, what he says in his word and his promises, never changes. Resting joyfully on this word of truth, we will feel the joy that's spoken of in this psalm. And nobody has to harp about it. All we have to do is proclaim it and declare it, as we do in these services week after week and in our lives. In this joy, let us enter God's presence each day, for we are in his presence always. Let's enter his presence each day when we get out of bed in this joy. And with glad, thankful service, because he is the only God who has created us, loved us, and saved us, and blesses us. There is no other God. Praise be to him alone. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and thoughts from every anxiety, as you remember that the mercy of the Lord is everlasting and his truth endures forever. Amen.